Investing in real estate can be a really, really great idea. Certainly in major centers, there has been this enormous increase in the price of homes. But there's a lot of, you know, risks and downsides, too. It can be hard to assemble a down payment. The thought of being a landlord can give you nightmares. Turns out there's other ways that we don't talk a lot about. One of them is called private lending. Limora Markman is a real estate investor and money expert. She joins us now to talk about how to invest in real estate without being a landlord. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Private lending. What is it and how does it work?
Private lending is a fantastic way to get into real estate. Most people want to get into real estate, like you said, but they can't because they don't want to be a landlord. They're too nervous. They're too afraid. And private lending allows us to be the same or to fill the same role that the bank does. So we actually can lend our money from cash to inside our RSP to inside a TFSA to loan to somebody as a mortgage for them on a property. And what's cool about it is when you are the lender, you're not responsible for vacancy. You're not responsible for the tenants. You're not responsible for the maintenance. You are solely the lender against the property.
Now, there are mortgage investment firms that do this. There's syndicates that do this. But individuals can do this. How common is it? It's not something that I don't think I've ever talked about it on this show.
Well, it's actually been growing in popularity, especially over the last couple of years, when the mortgage rules are getting tighter and tighter. There's so many great people out there. Maybe they're self-employed, but they don't fit into the molds of the bank. And so this is actually growing in popularity. And one of the reasons that I really like it as opposed to a syndicate is because you as the lender have complete control to say yes or no, whether or not it's a deal you want to participate in. Whereas if you put your money into a syndicate, you typically don't have as many choices or options. And especially if the deal were to go sideways, you're at the mercy of what the syndicate decides to do.
How much capital does someone need in order to do this? I mean, I can get it if you've got, you're sitting on $5 million in cash, hooray for you, but that isn't the circumstance for most people.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you are going to be really surprised to know that this starts with as little as $50,000.
For you, I make special prize. I like you. For you, I make special prize.
$50,000. $50,000, I would say it gets a little bit more popular as you get close to the $100,000. But it allows someone who may not even have enough money for 20% down payment on a property to be able to get in from a lending perspective.
So say I've got 50 grand and this is what I want to do. What's the range on return that one could expect?
Yeah, so if you are providing the $50,000, and it's a little off because you're not going to put $50,000 as a first mortgage. So let me say that, you know, if you had a bit more money, or maybe if you're buying somewhere that's a little bit more obscure, not our major city centers, for a first mortgage, you could probably find in the range of 8 to 10%. And once you jump in as a second mortgage, which is also very, very popular, you can see returns all the way up to 15% per year.
So basically what that means is that the borrower is kind of having a bit of a hard time here paying 15%. It's like the 80s all over again. But we're talking about it from the lender's standpoint. So that is very, very lucrative. If they were able to get a 15% return, that is very lucrative in terms of return.
Well, let me chime in and say that this is unlike a typical mortgage where you'd have the mortgage for, you know, 25, maybe 30 years. These are typically one-year mortgages, and they're meant to bridge a situation. So, you know, if somebody is self-employed and they haven't been declaring enough income, well, here they can still get into the property, but declare the income that they need to and refinance or requalify in a year from now. So typically they're shorter terms.
Of course, the flip side of an extraordinary return like that is risk. Take us through some of the risks that a private lender would be exposed to.
Yeah. So first and foremost, it's really, really critical for the private lender to be educated and understand what they're looking for in the property, what they're looking for in the deal. So first and foremost, they want to understand the value of the property. And just like the banks, where they'll only give you a mortgage up to 20% of the value of the property if it's not your primary residence, well, we want to do the same thing as a lender to ensure that there is sufficient equity in the property in case a worst-case scenario should happen. And in that situation, you would foreclose on the property in the same way that the banks do. And I feel like I got to throw in a massive caveat here just to say that the default rate in Canada on mortgages of private homes are less than 1%. So,
but yes, surely higher for people who are taking on a second mortgage who are willing to pay such a high interest rate.
Yeah, but I'll say that when it's their primary residence, everyone's goal is not to lose their home. So yeah. I've seen people get all kinds of crazy credit card debt just to be able to maintain their mortgages. I mean, you know, home ownership is at an all-time high from a dream perspective. And so, you know, as an investor, we do need to be able to understand that there is enough equity there. And I'll also say it's important to understand the foreclosure proceedings because they differ by province as well. And some provinces are shorter and some are a little bit longer.
What would you say, broadly speaking, about where, what order you would be in order to recover your money? If your borrower defaults and you're the second mortgage, you are not first to be paid if that house gets sold.
No, you're absolutely not. But that's why we want to make sure that even after your loan, there's still 20% of equity in there. So that if there's any legal proceeding costs, it's more than enough to be able to cover those costs, as well as ensure that you get paid out even if the market softens.
So on the property front, value, loan to value, those kinds of things. What about the borrower? What would you want to know about the borrower?
Yeah, first and foremost, I'd want to really understand what's happening in their life. You know, typically these are not terrible people. They're not going through bankruptcy, but what is the reason that they can't qualify for a typical mortgage? So I've seen everything from, like I've mentioned, self-employed a couple times, you know, a situation where I've seen a lady who was on maternity leave. She had a ton of equity in her property. Her husband lost his job, so they needed to have a little bit more of a cushion before they got him, before he was back employed again. And they just couldn't qualify for all of the equity that was in their property through a home equity line of credit. So I want to understand a bit of the color commentary to understand why, in fact, they need to borrow this money, as well as do they have the funds and the ability to be able to pay you back interest on an ongoing basis? And what's going to change in a one-year duration so they can be able to pay the principal back? And typically, it's refinancing a first mortgage.
How do lenders and borrowers meet? Is there a Tinder swipe left, swipe right app available?
No, there isn't quite a swipe left, swipe right. I can't even say that 10 times fast. But, you know, a lot of it is through mortgage brokers, through the investor community. I certainly educate a lot of new investors on the strategy, what to look for, and teach them how to find deals of this nature.
Really interesting. Willie Moore, thank you for context on this one. I know it's not for everyone. It's not even for a majority of Canadians. But for some people, this is a fit. And I appreciate you providing some inspiration on it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me today, Bruce.
Lamar Markman is a real estate investor, money expert. Our focus was on private lending, some potential for big returns and some risks inherent in there too.